We're here to talk today about the NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers, Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today, as I said, we're looking at the Los Angeles Lakers, the NBA champions, what happened with their season, what that could mean for the future. We'll talk about all of that with this team who, realistically, they're not all that interesting from a fantasy point of view. But we still have questions that came in, still have things to talk about. And then next week, we'll finish off this series on Monday, looking at the Toronto Raptors. Then Tuesday, Milwaukee Bucks. Wednesday, it'll be my mock draft 6.0. So make sure you stay tuned for that. When that comes out, it's going to be an absolute crack-a-lacka because I think I'm going to go through all 60 picks in that mock draft. We'll probably fly through the back end of it. But yeah, a mock draft coming on Wednesday next week. Let's talk Lakers. Let's look at the questions that came through here on the Discord server. Dazza006 loves it, Dazza. Apart from Anthony Davis, who are the most desirable dynasty fantasy players on this roster for the next 2 to 3 years? And that's a really good question because the answer is there's probably no one. I'm not really sure who we're looking at on this roster as any sort of desirable prospect long term. Now, we know who LeBron is, of course, but he's 36 years of age. At some point, I don't know when it's going to be, but at some point he's going to drop off and he's going to retire. Might that be in 4 years' time? Yeah, possibly. So he's still got some dynasty appeal for sure. But Danny Green, he's 33. JaVale McGee, he's 33. Rondo, he's 35. And these guys are all not long-term options for this team. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's only 28. He's a free agent. Does he return? Maybe, but yeah, he's never going to be a high-level fantasy player. The future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, is 25. He's never going to be a good fantasy player either. The only guy you look at is probably Talen Horton-Tucker, who's under 20. He's almost 20. He's 19 and 10 months or whatever. He's the youngest player on this team. I think he's got a really interesting game. I thought he played well when he played. His G League numbers are pretty strong. He looked pretty okay in some of the seeding games that he got. In his G League games, 18-6-4 with 1.4 steals. He shot over 6 3 attempts per game, only hit him at 31%, but there is something there. I think he is the only other guy there that has that long-term upside on this team outside of Anthony Davis. Maybe you could consider Kuzma, but even at Kuzma's best points, I think he maybe his best-case scenario is a top 80 player, maybe, but that's still pretty good. But yeah, that's really not going to be realized on this team, and it's hard to really see him being a long-term fit on this current squad, so I don't really know how that works out. B-Dub says, who do the Lakers target in free agency if Rondo and Dwight and KCP see greener pastures and higher pay packets off the back of their championship performances? I think KCP is back with his team, almost no doubt. I think Rondo will return as well. Dwight, I'm not sure about. I also am not sure that they necessarily need Dwight to come back. He had some pretty good moments this year. But you can fill in those backup centers. There's going to be plenty of people who want to go and play for LeBron and play with Anthony Davis on cheaper salaries than they may get in other areas. So there's going to be plenty of options. Remember, this team also has to welcome back Avery Bradley. Not that he's good, but he's another name that gets into the mix there. Markieff Morris was playing some excellent minutes at center in the playoffs. He could just take some of that Dwight Howard role as well. And of course, the best center on the roster is the dickhead who doesn't want to play center, and that's Anthony Davis. Although, as we saw, and nobody is shocked about this, that when he did play at center during the playoffs, that's when the Lakers were at their absolute best. So who do they target? Now, we have to remember, this free agent class is not good. The Lakers don't have cap space, like nearly every other team doesn't have cap space. So they're looking at exception-type players, minimum-type players, and you're going to be able to find those sort of guys. You know, does Reggie Jackson not sign with the Clippers and move to the Lakers and sign as a minimum contract player to replace J.R. Smith or Deion Waiters on the roster? Yeah, look, that could possibly happen. That's the sort of move we're looking at. KCP will be back, I understand. Whether JaVale McGee exercises his player option, he should. So he'll be back. Maybe they make trades. You hear it all the time in every frigging clickbait YouTube video. The Lakers are getting Chris Paul and Bradley Beal and Giannis and every other person under the sun. And Pascal Siakam's coming across. And maybe they're trading for Kawhi Leonard. And that's all well and good to get the left and the right hand going overtime on the old downstairs member. But realistically, this stuff's not going to happen. Who's the Lakers getting for the third star is a question you hear all the time. Why do we, and I've said this before as well, they just won a title with two stars and a bunch of players who you'd consider average to below average. I think it feels like the three-star era in the NBA is not really there. The only team you can consider is a team that wasn't a part of things last year, and that's the Warriors with Draymond, Steph, and Klay. Is that the three stars? Is Draymond even still in that star category? Probably still is, but that's probably the only team really that has that third star at this point. And to get Bradley Beal, to get Chris Paul, like who the hell are the Lakers sending away? Considering their draft picks are all headed towards the Pelicans in the next couple of years, they just don't really have the assets to bring those guys in. Matt Lawson, are you buying or selling these Lakers dynasty ADPs? Anthony Davis at 4. Why is he at 4? Absolutely. I guess I can understand you've got Luka ahead of him. You've probably got Giannis ahead of him. At 4, no worries. Like Anthony Davis is, 27? He's been like the top 3-4 player for, 5 years it feels like. He was the number 2 ranked player this year. Yeah, I'll take that. LeBron at 27.
LeBron James.
It's a tough one to think about. Now, LeBron was the 9th ranked player this year. I don't think he'll be that high next year. He's going to be 36. You might get 2 more top 20 years out of LeBron. Is that enough to justify at pick 27? I'd say probably yes. I would hate to be in a dynasty startup league and be sitting there at pick 26 and LeBron's on the board and pass up on him to take somebody else. Now, the limit you have there is when you do that is it does lock you into more of a win now sort of a mode, but that means that you target Chris Paul 50 spots behind what he gives you over the next 2 years. These older type players, Mike Conley will fall 20, 30 spots. Any of these guys who are 33, 34, Jimmy Butler will fall 10 spots. You look at grabbing those sort of players, go win now for the first 2 years, and then you have some hard years ahead of you. So I think 26 is fine. Kuzma's at 170, and this is going to surprise guys here. I think he's actually a buy at that spot. He's never been a top 100 player. He's not very good at all. He does not fit really at all on this current Lakers team, but I would say there is a chance that he has moved, and he's moved to a different squad, and he can have a couple of seasons of being between 100 and 140 in rank. And I think at 170, there is value then. He's not super young. He's 25. But he's much better, or he can be much better in the right scenario from a fantasy perspective than what we saw from him this season. Talen Horton, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 260. KCP was 222nd this year in 26 minutes a game. I don't know why he's at 260 in his ADP. I'll buy that. And Talen Horton Tucker at 265. Well, he was 278th as a rookie. Yeah, I'd buy that every day. I think he's got top 120 potential easily. Rajon Rondo at 265th. Well, he beat it this year, 220th. He is 35. He literally was the Lakers' worst rotation player during the regular season, and he improved significantly in the playoffs. Like, he was quite good in the playoffs. He was the 40th ranked fantasy player. He still only played 25 minutes a night, but what he was able to do there was generate good assists and good steals, and that's what he continually does. But he's not going to be able to ramp that game up at that high of a level over a regular season, and we play fantasy in a regular season. So I'm not sure I'd actually buy him at 265. Danny Green at 267. Well, there's obviously a big drop off there because of the playoff performances of Green and his age. He was 172nd this past season. He's a guy that's had top 40 years in the past. He's never going to get back to that. I'd probably buy him at 267. Alex Caruso at 274. Caruso was a 270th ranked player this year. He's, despite being this internet meme and young star or whatever bullshit you want to throw on him, he's 26. He's going to be 27 next season. Can he play more than the 18 minutes he played this year and be better than that? Yes. Would I expect top 150 seasons? No. I think he's a soft buy there. McGee's at 280. When he plays, he'll beat that number, but the worry you have is his age and how much he's going to play. I'd probably pass. Dwight Howard at 297. Again, the age is really the factor there. And Avery Bradley at 306. Well, Bradley was a 251st ranked player this year. He's 30 years of age. I think that's a soft buy, just depending on how your squad looks. Dark Horse Fantasy Sports. How many more years do you think LeBron plays? 4 would be my guess. Can he maintain top 30 value for 5 more years? I don't think he plays 5 more years. Can he maintain top 30 value in 3 of the next 4 years? Yes. I'd say top 20 for 2 years, top 30 for 3 years, and then probably top 50 in his last season, which I imagine would be his age 40 season. I don't think he's going to keep playing after that, but it's LeBron, man. Like, who knows what's going to happen with this guy? He's defied really all logic at this point up in his career. If you want to defy logic and break through that afternoon wall, Built Go is the healthy replacement for your energy drink. The energy's not fake, it's lasting, and it's natural. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. It is a great solution for breaking through that wall, getting that energy boost that you need to get your ass off the couch, to push through that last meeting, whatever it is. Built Go is the thing that you need. It comes in easy to take 1.5 ounce packages. Whether it's a mental wall or a physical wall, Built Go will help you break through it to go every day. It is like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It combines an energy gel with collagen protein, and that collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. Beta alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Also with B6 and B12. Visit builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED and you'll get 20% off your next order. So use that promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Let's go indeed, and let's look at some more questions. Actually, we'll probably flick it over to the old Insta and see what questions came in there. Again, this Lakers team is not all that interesting from a fantasy point of view. Keelan14 says, should the Lakers go after Derrick Rose? Yeah, sure. Well, he's on a manageable contract. He's got 1 year left. The Pistons really don't have much use for him. Would he fit in better than Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo? Probably. His previous stint with LeBron James was horrible. It didn't fit well. And you've got to really manage how they play together, considering they both need the ball in their hands. But as a replacement for Quinn Cook on this team, to take some of those minutes away, sure. But you know, then you're going to run into that risk of, you know, how does Rondo play? How does Rose play? Like, how do they play together? I wouldn't be putting all my eggs in a Derrick Rose basket. Paul Zero Montenegro says, what team better suits Kuzma? Should he leave? Well, he doesn't have a choice to leave. He's under contract. He's in the final year of his rookie deal and is restricted free agency rights. It's not going to be his decision to leave. He might leave after this next season and get an offer, and the Lakers may not match. If he leaves, it's going to be via trade. What team would he fit on? A team that just needs someone to go out there and chuck out shots at an inefficient level and to create their own shots, because he can create his own shots. He can't create for anybody else, and he has improved his defense. It's really, he's going to play better on a bad team. And we saw his best fantasy seasons come when he was on this Lakers team that was bad, you know, 2 years ago in his first year, where he probably had his best fantasy season. So he needs to go to a bad team, because on a good team, he's going to be marginalized because he's not a very good player. Yes, I'm Curly says, is LeBron still a first-round pick in a 10-man draft? Look, he was the 9th-ranked player, so using that logic, you'd say, yes, 9 is less than 10. I won't use that logic, because that top 10 from last year does not include a bloke who wears number 30 for the Golden State Warriors. It does not include a bloke that wears number 77 for the Dallas Mavericks. It does not include a bloke that wears number 15 for the Denver Nuggets. If you don't know who that is, that's Steph, that's Luka, and it's Nikola Jokic. So that's 3 guys already who you would comfortably draft ahead of LeBron James next season. So, you know, where do we see LeBron? He played 35 minutes a night. He averaged 25, 8, and 10. No one's expecting a big drop-off from LeBron. The problem you have is a little bit there with his free throw percentage. But if we look at the names that finished below LeBron last year, in terms of ranking, there are plenty of guys that you can see making that jump ahead of him. And that's why I wouldn't want to take that risk with him when he has battled groin problems over the last 2 years. If he loses a minute off his playing time, that has an impact too. So the names behind LeBron, Bradley Beal, he may not finish ahead of LeBron. Yeah, Doncic, John Collins, Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Devin Booker, Russell Westbrook, and that's Andre Drummond, Kyle Lowry, Jason Tatum. So I can see Steph Curry. I can see Steph going ahead of him. Paul George could potentially finish ahead of him. Probably not, but could. Jimmy Butler's there. I still would have LeBron ahead of him. But it's Tatum, it's Giannis, it's Jokic, it's Doncic. All those guys could easily finish ahead of LeBron. I think he's probably going to be okay in that 11 to 15 or 14 sort of range. And I wouldn't want to let him slip too far there. In a 12-man league, he probably is still a first rounder. In a 10-man, I reckon you're looking at probably in the first couple of picks of the second round would be my guess. Mitch Gray says LeBron top five. No, he's not. Why does Bill Malikan, 7, why does anyone rate Kyle Kuzma? It's a good question, because he plays in LA and he dyed his hair blonde. I'm not really sure. He's not really very good at all. And some of the narratives around Kuzma have been pretty ridiculous for the last couple of years. What other questions do we have? Do we have any others? I reckon. Oh, here we go. Everyone's mate, G Nasty, says, anyone outside of AD and LeBron, can they crack the top 150 next year? Well, it didn't happen this year, as we've talked about already. I don't really see who is going to do it. Maybe Caldwell Pope plays 29 minutes and he jumps up. Maybe Danny Green gets back on track and he jumps up. Kuzma, probably not. Just hard to see those minutes being there for Kyle. So I would say the over-under of players for the Lakers in the top 150, if you had it at 2.5, you'd probably take the under. I just really don't see anyone who's knocking that door down. And if they are, they might finish 149th or 148th, and that's really not making too much of a difference there. If you have a look at some questions now that came through on Twitter that you guys sent through. Bob Sacamano, not his real name, I'm guessing. It seems LeBron's fantasy value declines fairly slowly. How do you see LeBron's fantasy value for the next 4 years? Well, I answered that one already, but yes, his decline has been unbelievably slow. It's really ridiculous, to be honest. Draftman says, is Rondo the greatest point guard of all time? Now, I know you're taking the piss, Draftman, but obviously, yes. Nah, he's not. He's clearly not. He's not, and his impact was pretty strong in the playoffs. I think it's been completely overblown, and he also was literally the worst rotation player on this team during the regular season who really did pick up his game in the playoffs. And I think one of the most important things he did in the playoffs was shoot 40% from three, but also was able to shoot over three threes a game, which wildly is more than what Anthony Davis attempted, and it's more than what Alex Caruso attempted. So he did up his game, but he averaged 9, 4, and 6.5 in 25 minutes. It wasn't like he was just beating the absolute shit out of people. Like, he was pretty strong. And when you're coming from a baseline of absolutely horrible where he was in the regular season, yes, it was a big, big step up from Rajon Rondo. All right, let's have a look. There's a question here from Officer Volga, who's got questions on Devontae Kachok, I think is how you pronounce it, Talen Horton-Tucker. We'll talk about them a little bit later. But he's brought up something interesting. How instrumental was Phil Handy to the players' development? I think that's a really, really key one. Handy is very highly regarded across the NBA as an assistant head coach, and I think that he had a big hand in what happened with this Lakers team and some of the development of these players. Look, it's hard to know exactly where he is in terms of what his value is to this team, but I think it's important. Now, he is staying with the Lakers for this season, so I think that's good for them, but if he was to leave, there might be a little bit of a drop off at some point. But let's have a look at these players now in a little bit of extra detail. We'll start, of course, with Anthony Davis, a guy that is continually overlooked. And this is weird to say, people overlooking. Now, people are doing drafts already. And if you are doing drafts already for fantasy leagues, the number one question I have for you is why. The number two question I have for you is why. And the number three question, which isn't a question, it is stop. What are we doing? No free agency, no trades, no drafts. What is the point of doing a draft at this point? I have no input on drafts or ADPs or anything like that. I have no idea. And someone did ask me a question. I don't even know why it didn't appear on that list. But so they said, when are you publishing your projections for next season? Well, it's literally impossible to do that now. They will be done as soon as possible after free agency. So free agency expected to start December 1st, draft on November 18th. I would love to have them out and fully published within, you know, a couple of weeks of free agency starting. So middle of December is the hope, but we don't even know when the season's starting. It's just, I'm going to have to be working pretty bloody hard to get everything projected through with free agents and that happening. But this is a long-winded way of me saying, people are talking about drafts and they go, well, yeah, you got a clear top three. It's Harden, it's Luka, it's Giannis. And that's what someone said to me yesterday. What are you talking about? Like, Anthony Davis was the number two ranked player. Oh yeah, but he misses all these games. Played one fewer game than Giannis last year. I think some of the Anthony, oh, he goes to the locker room all the time. That's great. And he still was the second ranked player on a per game basis. This guy gets hurt a lot. We know that. But he also is in a situation now. You can go and call him a pussy and you'd be wrong. You can call him a soft cock and you'd be wrong. But he has an interesting thing where he gets hurt. It looks bad. He has like an initial, oh my God, that actually really hurt. I'm in real trouble. And his recovery is massive. Like, he has got that ability that where maybe he's got extremely sensitive nerve endings that give him this pain, yeah, initial pain sensation that's really high. And that happens to plenty of people. And then he's fine. So we know that this is a thing that's been happening over years and years and years. He gets hurt. He goes to the locker room. He comes back out and he's fine. That is the pattern. That is what Anthony Davis does. We saw it in the finals. He sprained his ankle. Oh my God, Davis is down again. And he still came out and was really, really good. So even with his million locker room trips, even with all these games that he missed, allegedly, he was still the second ranked player over the course of the season and missed one fewer game than Gianni Antetokounmpo. He averaged 26-9. Now those 9 rebounds are a little bit weird, considering, you know, how high he'd been in the past. And some of that's because he's playing with other centers, which I'm not going to get too much into that. But 2.3 blocks, 1.5 steals, true shooting of 61%, like really, really massive numbers. The PIPM and Raptor are through the roof. Anthony Davis should not escape the top three in fantasy drafts. And I published something interesting for the Patreon subscribers on Discord yesterday. What I did is looked at all of the per game rankings for last season and took away each player's worst category. Because I think that's an important thing to do, because in a head-to-head league, when you're drafting, you're usually looking at punting, and players aren't going to be strong in every single category. And especially early on when you're looking at the first round, where Gianni comes in as the 14th ranked player based on overall value. But you know, if you're taking Gianni, you're punting free throws. So if you take that category out for Antetokounmpo, that pushes him to be the third ranked player. It was still Harden 1, Davis 2, and Gianni at 3. But I think that's an interesting way to look at it when looking at your first round. But Davis shouldn't be escaping the top 5 under any circumstance, and probably shouldn't be escaping the top 3 in any draft. And you will find him fall to 5 to 7 in drafts because people, man, he's just going to get hurt, guys. He's just going to get hurt. Well, literally anybody can get hurt at any point. And while he does have those locker room trips, it doesn't really bother me that much because almost invariably, he just comes back out. So Davis put together some really, really good numbers here. And look, he's going to continue to be really good. And I think there's actually scope for him to get better if those rebound numbers pick up and maybe he gets a little bit of extra usage. He was super impressive for the Lakers this season. Next up is, of course, LeBron James.
LeBron James.
The 9th ranked player. Look at that PIPM. 6.62 with a 7.8 Raptor. 58 true shooting and a 32 usage. LeBron averaged 25-8-10 with 1.2 steals. 49 from the field only and 69 from the line is a problem.
Giggity.
And you got to look at that punt free throw number. But that is another one of those things where LeBron, even if you look at those minus one ranks, which is what I was calling them, he was able to jump up. I'll rephrase that. LeBron, you would think, was able to jump up in those minus one rankings because of the free throw percentage, but he actually fell down to 11 in per game rankings because a couple of guys had significantly larger negatives in Gianni and Andre Drummond, who jumped ahead of him. So he actually fell down to 11 in those minus one rankings. But that is something you've got to pay attention to. You know that you're going to punt free throws with LeBron. That's just been a consistent theme for him over his career. He's, as I mentioned earlier, a back end of the first round sort of player, and I don't think you have too many complaints about that. I don't think LeBron's going to be wholesale resting. He'll rest games for sure. The groin injury is a problem, but in that area of the draft where you're looking at a Kawhi Leonard, maybe Joel Embiid pokes his head into there, probably not, but you're always going to have some injury concerns in that area of drafts. Next up is Danny Green. This is where it gets rough, man. Green was the 172nd ranked player. 25 minutes, 8 points. He hit 2 threes. He's a 3-point streamer. He gets steals. He used to be a really good shot blocker as a guard. That's dropped off somewhat, but he gets steals. He hits threes, and he's just one of those guys. And weirdly, his free throws way off as well. 69%.
Giggity.
He's a guy that used to be an 80% guy, used to be a 40% three-point shooter. That's not the case anymore. His game has fallen off significantly. He's 33 years of age, though, so it stands to reason that your game would fall off. And he's not going to be really too much of a fantasy option. And this is going to be the case for so many of these guys. Even though his PIPM and Raptor are really strong, they just don't have that impact because they're older players and they just don't have that great fantasy game. JaVale McGee, the 180th ranked player, nice plus 2.3 Raptor, 0.88 PIPM, 65 true shooting, played 17 minutes a night, but what did he provide? You could stream him in for blocks, 1.5 a game, 64% from the field, that's all solid, but no team in their right mind is giving JaVale McGee 30 minutes a night or even probably 25 minutes a night at this point. Yes, Dwight Howard might move on, but they'll just find someone else. Do they bring Hassan Whiteside in at a mid-level price to play that role? Maybe. Do they bring DeMarcus Cousins back and that completely limits what JaVale does? Perhaps. There are going to be so many centers out there. Mason Plumlee is going to be a name on unrestricted free agency market. That's another guy that can come in. There's just so many centers going to be available that, yeah, I really don't see McGee having any impact. And he's an age 33 player who was pushed out of the playoff rotation, rightfully so. Rajon Rondo. Over the course of the year, he was the 21st ranked player. He had a miserable negative 1.16 PIPM and 2.9 Raptor and a true shooting under 50. Like, they are poor numbers. He averaged 7 points with 5 assists and 0.8 steals. Poor field goal, poor free throw percentage. The only thing you looked at him is to be an assists streamer. In the playoffs, it was very, very different. As I said, those assist numbers jumped up. The steal numbers jumped up. His shooting numbers from three jumped up. His three-point volume jumped up. He was really, really good in those playoff games. But let's not get confused. Rondo is not doing that for 82 games. You should have absolutely zero interest in him in standard leagues outside of a stream for assists. Even if he leaves the Lakers... I was going to say if there's any team dumb enough, but I know the NBA. There are teams that are dumb. Is someone going to look at Rondo and go, yeah, playoff Rondo, man. He's our starting point guard now. We want to play him 28 minutes a night. Is there any team dumb enough to do it? I don't think there is, but if that happens, then yeah, he will put up numbers. He will put up assists. He will get steals. He will hit some threes, and that's going to be useful for fantasy. But realistically, he cannot do that for 82 games in a regular season, and he won't be able to. And teams surely won't be looking at him as a starting point guard. And the reason that you know that they won't be looking at him as a starting point guard is because Kendrick Perkins is out here saying that he should be, and he should be getting $8 million a year. So therefore, you know it's clearly false. Next up is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He was ranked at the old Richie Benno. If I can find the button.
2 for 2, 2, 2.
Yes. PRPM, negative 1.12. That's not that good. Negative 0.7 Raptor. 58 true shooting. I thought KCP was really strong in the playoffs, though. He's not a great fantasy player, but he can hit threes and he can get steals. He averaged 11 points in 29 minutes, but he doesn't do anything else. He doesn't rebound at all. He doesn't get assists. He doesn't block shots. He doesn't get to the line, even though he is a good free throw shooter. He's a guy that you look at as a three-point streamer who I think is going to play better next regular season than this one. I think he'll be back with the Lakers on a 1 or 2 year deal. 26 minutes a night for 9 points. I'd imagine that goes to 28 minutes and 11 points. But remember, he also played well in the playoffs and in the bubble with no Avery Bradley, who is decidedly worse than KCP, but will get some of those minutes and that will cut into his playing time. But regardless, you're not looking at Caldwell Pope as any sort of fantasy savior or anything along those lines. But I do think that he can be, even though he's an unrestricted free agent, he can be a little bit better than what he was this last season. Next up is the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, the 227th ranked player. He played 25 minutes and he still scored 13 points. So again, you look at these scoring numbers, he was the third leading scorer on this team, the third star, so to speak. But that doesn't mean shit for fantasy when you do low volume threes, bad rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks, below average field goals and below average free throws. Like literally shit house at every category. Apart from scoring, and even those scoring numbers at 13 points per game is below average. Now, we know he had better seasons in the past. His rookie year, he was the 106th ranked player. His second year, he played 33 minutes a night and averaged 19 points. Still couldn't crack the top 100 because all he is about is scoring. And not doing it efficiently. He hasn't had a true shooting over 55% in 3 years. He is not very good. He cannot pass. He cannot get defensive numbers. He's a poor rebounder. He's inefficient from the field and from the line. He's a three-point shooting player who had a 3 month stretch of being 40 plus in his rookie year and has been bad ever since. 30 last year, 31 this year. I don't have much hope for Kuzma to ever be a good player. And almost outside of those first 3 months of his career, it's seemingly been the same. Inefficient shot jacking that when pushed onto a good... And this is what I talk about all the time with players. Look at the situation they're in. Yeah, Kuzma, man, he averaged 18 points a game net last year. That's great, but he does nothing else. And then when you're forced to play on a good team, that's just not going to cut it. You have to be providing something that's a positive to the team to actually maintain that level of usage, that level of playing time. And when the team became good... Anthony Davis arrived. Well, Kuzma, see you later. You couldn't fit in at the three. You weren't getting enough minutes at the four. He just wasn't good enough. And maybe this feels like I'm bashing on Kuzma, but the love for Kyle Kuzma had been out of control. That's why I call him the future MVP, because I'm taking the piss about people that think that this guy's a great player, because he clearly isn't. He's a solid rotation player who has solid moments and can go on hot streak scoring, but the aggregate of what he does is below average, and that counts doubly for fantasy than it does across regular basketball as well. Dwight Howard, really pleasant surprise to see Dwight, who was terrible in his previous spots. This is something that people have been calling out for Dwight Howard to do for years. Dwight, stop with the post-up nonsense. Stop demanding offensive touches. Putbacks, alley-oops, defend the shit out of the rim, rebound, and you'll be really, really good. But Dwight and his ego and his want to drop farts on players' heads, whatever it was, meant that, no, give me the ball. I've got a post move. Look at this. Turnaround. Yeah, Kareem. Cool. You're not that. But he embraced it. He, I guess, faced some sort of reckoning this year. And said, am I not good? Shit. Lakers, give me a non-guaranteed contract. Let me actually work for this and let me do the things that I should have been doing for the last 6 years. And he did it. And he was quite good at doing it. That doesn't translate into great numbers for fantasy. 231st ranked player, but he was better than McGee. He had a true shooting of 70%, and he was able to give you 7.5 and 7.5 with a block and 73% from the field. Those rebounds are a positive for fantasy, the blocks are, and the field goal percentage is. So he wasn't a must roster player, and that ranking would suggest that. But in the right team fit, he had momentary portions of the season where he could be useful in contributing to those three specific categories. Now, Dwight is an unrestricted free agent. He's 35. I could see a team like the Warriors bringing him in to be a backup center to play behind a Marquise Chris and a Kevon Looney. He can come back to the Lakers and play a similar role, but he's never going to be a must roster player again in fantasy. Markieff Morris, 232nd ranked player. 21 minutes a night. He averaged 10 points with 1.5 threes. I thought he was quite good in the playoffs, where he averaged 6 points. He shot 42% from three, which is a really key part of what he's going to be able to do as we move forward. Started off the season in Detroit. I wouldn't say that he was particularly good there. He had some interesting moments with his scoring. But overall, he was a guy that really did step up and provided capable center play. Not hyper-efficient stuff for the Lakers, and he's not going to be a guy that sneaks back into the top 100 or top 150 or probably even top 200, but a useful enough player that I think the Lakers will bring back and keep in that rotation as a backup center and maybe play a little bit of the four, but not going to be someone who's troubling the fantasy scorers all that much. Deion Waiters, 237th ranked player. He averaged 11 points in 21 minutes with 2 assists, barely got off the bench in the playoffs. He's not very good. He's a guy that struggles with efficiency. He can get assists when he's given the ball and given that opportunity, but what team in their right mind is signing Deion Waiters so he can play 26 minutes and control an offense? It just isn't happening. I don't know whether he comes back to this Lakers team or he finds another team, but whatever his role is, I can't imagine that it's going to be big as we move forward. He also is an unrestricted free agent. Next up is Avery Bradley. Started for the Lakers all season. 251st ranked player. Played 24 minutes a night. He hit 1.3 threes. And like him the year before in Memphis, where people really looked at what he did after he came across, when he was given this weird green light, Avery, take every shot possible. And he played 15 games or 10 games for Memphis. He shot 40 plus from three. And people said, look, Avery Bradley's still good, man. He's going to be this big contributor. But you got to look at context. The team was shithouse. He's... usage was through the roof. He's playing way too many minutes, and that stuff was never going to continue on, especially when he came to a team that was looking for a championship. And that's what happened. 8.6 points, really nothing else. His ability to rebound outside of that 1 year in Boston has completely evaporated. He doesn't pass, he doesn't put up defensive stats, and he's not all that efficient. He's a negative 1.21 PRPM playing alongside LeBron and Anthony Davis is pretty disappointing, as is a true shooting of 54. Of course, he didn't play in the bubble because he was dealing with for the health and safety of his family, which of course is 100% admirable and completely applaudable. He missed out on a championship ring or being a part of that. But you know, that's just not going to color my view in terms of what he is as a player and a fantasy contributor, because he's not that good at either of those things at this stage. But he is going to be a rotation player, and that probably cuts into Caruso and Caldwell Pope and Rondo. Or maybe they make a call on one of those guys and say, well, we don't want Rondo back, or we don't want KCP back. I think that would be a mistake. But Bradley has a player option for next season at $5 million. Will he get paid more than that by somebody else? I think it's debatable, and then you got to decide, do you want to stay in LA and play on this team, or maybe you get $7 million somewhere else and have to move in. And I think the decision of that would probably be he'll stay in LA, would be my guess. Alex Caruso, the Bald Eagle, 270th ranked player, really strong advanced stats, has always been the case for Caruso, 1.01 PIPM and 2.4 Raptor, poor shooting numbers, and he's not a really good fantasy player. He averaged 5 points in 18 minutes with a steal per game, and that's what it is. It's about getting steals for Alex Caruso. In the playoffs, he was the 80th ranked player, again, 1.1 steals, but not a huge amount else. He's not a good 3-point shooter. He is a great defender on court, who generates steals for fantasy, but he's not a high-volume shooter, scorer, passer, rebounder. He doesn't have a very good fantasy game, despite being a really strong on-court defender and one of the best plus-minus players in the NBA. Talen Horton-Tucker, this is where it gets interesting. 278th ranked player for Horton Tucker, only played 6 games, 14 minutes a game in the regular season, so nothing too exciting there. But 4 of those games came in the bubble seeding games, and he averaged 8 points with almost 2 steals in 19 minutes and shot 48% from the field and was the 138th ranked bubble player. In the playoffs, he only played 2 games and he was the 102nd ranked player. There's a ton of intrigue with this guy. He's super young. His G League numbers were really interesting. 18-6-4 with 1.4 steals and 0.6 blocks, attempting almost over 6 threes per game, with 74% free throws. I really like this guy long term. It's 4 years away from him being a real impact guy, but I reckon there's a massive chance of having top 100 seasons. And I actually think there is a sneaky chance, maybe 2%, but a sneaky chance of him being or having a top 50 season at some point in his career. He's got the rebound, the assists, the steals, maybe some shooting, some scoring ability there as well. Think of maybe like a Kyle Anderson type of fantasy player with a little bit of extra volume on his offense, and that can be really valuable given the right situation. Probably after LeBron's either gone or retired, he can slide into one of those roles. But we don't know exactly how that's going to work. But it's a long-term play for Horton Tucker, but I was impressed with what he did this year. Go, go, go,
go, go, go, go. Who's next?
Who is next is Devonte Kachuk, the 391st ranked player. The numbers for him in the NBA are limited because he only played the one game and played 9 minutes. But if we have a look at what he did in the G League, his G League PIPM was a massive 4.01. So that should already get you pretty interested. And then his per game numbers, 19-12 with a steal and 0.4 blocks. When you saw him at Summer League, he really stood out as well. Now that Lakers team was pretty trash to watch, but he did stand out in that scenario. He played almost like a Montrezl Harrell role for the South Bay Lakers. He only started 2 out of his 33 games and played 24 minutes, but averaged 19-12 in 24 minutes. He's not a good rim protector. He's that player who does tend to thrive in the G League. Those big men who can be undersized, who aren't necessarily good defenders, a Jonathan Motley and Elise Johnson type of player, who can come out and put up big scoring, big rebounding type numbers and not do too much else. So I think that's a little bit of the worry there with Kachuk, to see that he put up those numbers and it fits that archetype of G League type players who do really well at that level and then struggle, because he's 6'7". He's not tall at all. He's very undersized as a center. He doesn't stretch the floor at all as a four. I'm not really sure what his best position is going to be. And I think that's probably going to be something that limits him long term. And in terms of these Lakers players and G League type guys, Horton Tucker clearly ahead of Kachuk. Quinn Cook, 423rd ranked player, Look, he was really poor this year, really bad. He's got a $3 million non-guarantee. I've never seen someone with worse future projections than this guy. Over the next 5 years, he's projected to cost his team 5 wins. And very rarely do you see any players go into negatives in wins added. He was really poor. And even at age 27, I thought he showed flashes for the Pelicans back years ago and some moments with the Warriors. He was so far off the pace this year that I'm not really sure he gets a call from any team. He shot 37% from three, so maybe that's the thing that keeps him in someone's mind as an option, but realistically, no. Jared Dudley, 448th ranked player, 56 true shooting. He's just never going to trouble the scorers too much. He's buried on this team. Could be a help on another team that needs a rotation piece, but he's 35 years of age. Maybe we just have to accept that some of his play has dropped off and he's never going to be a really strong fantasy player. Next up is J.R. Smith, who, came back for plays 6 games. Didn't really do anything to get me excited. His true shooting was 37%. He played 10 games in the playoffs at 8 minutes, shot 27%. J.R. Smith is 35 years of age. He's not good anymore, and I highly doubt he's on a team next year. And the last player is Kostas Antetokounmpo, the 507th ranked player with a true shooting of 90, weirdly. He only played 20 minutes in the NBA and didn't miss a shot, so that's probably why. Yeah, actually, that's not true. He missed a free throw. But if we have a look at his G League numbers, a 1.04 G League PIPM is intriguing. And then for the G League team, he played 26 minutes a night and averaged 14-9 with 1.3 blocks. He shot 15% from three, very similar to his brother. So getting the steals and the blocks and the rebounds is where Kostas has some value. Is he the worst Antetokounmpo brother? No, that's probably Thanasis. Is he the best? That's obviously Giannis. And then the next best is probably Alex, who's coming through in a couple of years. So Kostas could find himself on a rotation or on an NBA roster rather than being a two-way. But in terms of being a rotational impact player in the NBA, I would have pretty significant doubts. That'll do it for me today with my Lakers show. Don't forget, guys, subscribe Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Leave a comment down below. Give it a thumbs up, and we'll be back on Monday with the Raptors. Instagram story will be up to talk about that. Twitter questions on the Discord server as well, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.